Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today, my guests will talk about an effort in St. Petersburg to ban single-use plastic bags, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about it, so give us a call. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. But here is a comment left by a listener after our last show on WMNF Tampa. It was actually a guest correcting something he said on the show about efforts by environmentalists to oppose a waste processing facility on public lands in Sarasota County near a preserve known as the Celery Fields.
Sean, Luigi Baracci from the Celery Fields show. I wanted to thank you so much for bringing this issue to the attention of your listeners. And also, I need to make a clarification. When I mentioned about the two schools that this dump was right in the middle of 1,500 students, I mentioned grades 5, 6, and 7. They are, in fact, elementary schools. They go from K to 5th grade. So essentially, we have a lot more parents driving younger kids to school than what would get on the bus. Just a point of clarity. And again, thank you. Thank WMNF. And thank all the listeners who called in that day. Peace be with you.
Well, that was a listener commenting about our last show, which you can listen to on our website, wmnf.org/news. Later on in the broadcast, I'm going to give out the number for you to leave a brief voicemail. You can always listen to previous shows on our website. You can join in the conversation on Twitter or Facebook at WMNF News. And I should tell you that if you'd like to watch the show, we're streaming live on Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/WMNF News. Well, this Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon, a 5-member St. Petersburg City Council committee will hear an ordinance for the first time banning single-use plastic bags. They are probably not going to vote on anything that day, but they are definitely going to talk about this ordinance. And joining us to discuss this is Davey Connor. He's chair of the Rise Above Plastics Coalition. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Davey.
Thanks, Sean. Great to be here.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. So what is the Rise Above Plastics Coalition? Who's involved in that?
The Rise Above Plastics Coalition is a team of about 12 organizations, different environmental organizations who are united under the cause of trying to break our dependence on single-use plastics.
What's the issue? What's the problem with single-use plastics and specifically about plastic bags?
So single-use plastics, which by that we mean styrofoam containers, straws, disposable cutlery, plastic bags, you know, they're very convenient, but they exist forever. You know, the things manufactured before I was born are going to be in the water, in our landfills, long, long after all of us are dead. So, you know, those moments of convenience have a very long tail in terms of their environmental impact. Specifically, plastic bags, you know, those last forever. They go away, you don't see them, but really they're just breaking down into smaller and smaller pieces. And when they start out, they look like jellyfish, which is what turtles and manatees eat. And then as they get smaller and smaller, they're still in the ocean. And they end up in the food that goes on your plate and my plate. If you like seafood, they affect the marine ecosystem and they dirty up our beaches and our waterways.
Let's go back to before they break apart. As you mentioned, when these plastic bags float around in our marine ecosystem, they are often seen as food. What happens if a turtle eats a plastic bag? What's the worst that could happen?
Well, I was reading an EPA white paper on the effects of marine plastic pollution on animals, and one of the conclusions was that more research is needed, of course, but some of the effects they've recorded are liver damage, immune system or compromised immune systems, and then also just in like the macro sense, plastic bags, you know, they're plastic coatings, and so if they eat them, they won't digest them, but they could still cover up their digestive tract and prevent them from absorbing food. A lot of people know Emoji, the manatee calf who died in Tampa Bay. I think it was about a year ago when they did an autopsy on him. They found that his intestines were lined with plastic bags. And so he just starved to death even though he was eating.
Eating and just couldn't take up the nutrients through the digestion.
Yeah.
Our guest is Davey Connor, and he's with the Rise Above Plastics Coalition. And we're talking about an ordinance in St. Petersburg that's going to be discussed for the first time this coming Thursday. And the shorthand for it is #BanTheBag. And people, if you'd like to call in and ask a question or tell us what you think about the Ban the Bag campaign, our number here is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. It's 12:11 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. And let me ask you about the Florida law that prohibits such ordinances like this. There's already one municipality in Florida that's banned single-use plastics, Coral Gables. What happened in Coral Gables, and why were they able to get an exemption to this law?
Well, I'm not a legal expert, but way back in 2008, Florida became the first state in the country to pass a ban on bans, which sounds like a mouthful, and it's kind of silly because it is. It was the result of a lot of campaigning from the Retail Federation, which represents a lot of businesses, but is, you know, largely funded by grocery stores. And more recently, they also passed a ban on banning styrofoam products. Coral Gables had passed their ban on styrofoam products before the statewide exemption, which the statewide exemption was then backdated, and they successfully overturned that in court. And then kind of with the victory of that, they decided to exercise their home rule authority by banning plastic bags, were sued by the Retail Federation, and have, I believe, won the first round of the case, and now it's going to appeals.
So is it likely that if St. Petersburg eventually, when this process goes all the way through and it does ban plastic bags, is it likely that there will be a lawsuit, and or is there some reason that St. Petersburg feels that the people that are pushing this in St. Petersburg feel that they're going to be in the clear when it comes to that law?
It's a good question. I can't speak to the legal decision-making process of the city. There's the possibility of waiting to see how the Coral Gables lawsuit turns out, but there's also the possibility that appeals courts, you know, while they do make rulings on the letter of the law, they also look at public sentiment. I think there's a long history of appeals courts considering changes in public opinion when they assess new laws. And the fact that 40 cities around the state of Florida have signed resolutions requesting the power to self-regulate and to protect their shores and their waterways and their recycling facilities. And the fact that St. Petersburg is doing it now, I think, is significant. And so there is value in standing up against what is ultimately undue corporate influence on our lives and our ability to protect our environment.
The only way this would be possible is if there's an alternative. If the only thing we could ever use at a grocery store, let's say, would be a plastic bag, well, then of course it wouldn't be overturned. But you're telling us that there are alternatives. Like what?
Yeah. Well, you know, like everybody, I've been in the situation where I'm on my way home and decide I need to stop and get just enough things that I can't carry in my arms, and I don't always have a reusable bag. But our first option, our first suggestion, is that folks use reusable bags. That's far and away the best possibility. Barring that, paper bags are an acceptable alternative. They're made from a renewable resource, trees instead of fossil fuels. They are biodegradable and they are recyclable. And so we see that as the preferable choice to plastic. But we go reusable first.
And there are some retail outlets that really don't give away these free one-use plastic bags. For example, I won't name the retail chain, but it's a fairly big grocery store chain that you can find here in the Tampa Bay area. And I believe they're based in Germany. And you go in and you either bring your bags, or if you forget your bags, you find an empty box on the shelf, and or you just put all your groceries into the shopping cart and you wheel it out to your car that way. And so there are retail outlets that kind of would be make an easier transition, whereas there are other outlets where all they do is they give you 20 plastic bags every time you buy $50 worth of groceries or whatever. So do you think that, and I should say on top of that, there are also other cities in the U.S. where these bans have been effective. Tell us about how these communities have transitioned from everyone using plastic bags all the time when they go grocery shopping to when there's a ban. How does that transition? What does that transition look like?
Absolutely. There are multiple cities around the country, and there are almost, I think, 30 countries around the world that have chosen to ban plastic bags. And at the beginning, it's challenging. There's some transition, but people figure it out. You know, it causes you to think ahead a little bit, or You just use, you can use paper. And there are multiple businesses. It's not just the big businesses that, that have the big logistics chains that can make this work. There's a one of the best bookstores in downtown St. Pete has been using paper bags for years. They just never saw the incentive to switch to plastic. And for them, it's fine. You know, they're a destination. People happily go there. I hope that, you know, the norm for them will very quickly become the norm for all of us. And we recognize that these things take time, just like the transition to curbside recycling in St. Pete over the past decade. You know, now it's to the point where new buildings are really trying to get on that recycling train. Before, there was a lot of pushback and people just didn't think it was a good idea.
Just a couple of anecdotal notes. I happened to be, about 15 years ago or so, I happened to be in Ireland like the week that their ban on plastic bags went into effect, and it was immediate. There was no inconvenience whatsoever. Everywhere I went, you know, if I didn't have a plastic bag, that, you know, they just bundle it into your backpack or whatever, and no one there seemed to have any qualms about it. Maybe they had been ramping up for a time and they knew it was coming or something, but it was like right as soon as it went into effect, there were no problems. I also, on Facebook, one of our commenters, Sol, said, California has a ban on recycling, and I love the bags that they give us now. I guess they give out some sort of different type of bag that's multiple use, or maybe you have to pay for a bag or something like that. But so that was one of the anecdotes that we got on Facebook. I should say our guest is Davey Connor, and if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 813-239-9663. He's with Rise Above Plastics Coalition. We're talking about St. Petersburg possibly banning single-use plastic bags at the retail level. And we might as well go to the phones right now. Let's start with Peter in St. Petersburg. Hi, Pete. Peter, sorry.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Okay, so let's just cut to the chase. I'm against a ban, and but I do want to, unless we ban all plastic bags. So, you know, I really think that as individuals, we should stop using plastic as much as possible. But, you know, having done a bunch of Surfrider Foundation beach cleanups here, plastic bags are like one of the least numerous items you collect on a beach cleanup. And that's supported by statistics. I think I emailed or I sent you that via Facebook, possibly, that little pie chart where it shows 32% of usually collected. The most recent San Diego Surfrider survey of the data shows that 32% of the stuff that's collected on a beach is cigarette butts. You know, the next numerous thing is just broken down plastic, which can come from a bunch of different sources, including plastic bags. But most likely, it's going to be bits and pieces of plastic water bottles and lids and stuff. And I've seen that firsthand. Really, plastic bags account for about 2% of the stuff that's collected. Now, you know, again, getting back to this minimizing our reliance on plastic, no matter how hard we try, we're going to end up with, you know, a little bit of trash, even after you compost. I mean, we generate in my house maybe one, and I call it a reusable plastic bag from the grocery store, as opposed to the single-use plastic bags like the 10-gallon, the 30-gallon, the 55-gallon. Those you only use one time. You can reuse the little bag from the grocery store in a myriad of different ways. People use them to make art with them. I mean, they're multi-use bags. Those are multi-use bags, not single-use bags. They also, if you buy the right size trash can, fit a small trash can perfectly as a trash can liner. So now when you buy your groceries, your grocer is giving you a free trash bag. And if you only fill that one little bag, you fill one or two of those every week, I think you're doing pretty good, as opposed to the household that has to go out and buy a big box of 10-gallon bags or 55-gallon bags. So, but, you know, I mean, the real bad, guys, here is the bottled water. You know, the bottled water, you see so many empty bottles of water on the beach, the lids. You see so many plastic straws. I mean, these are the real bad actors in this pantheon of bad plastic.
Okay, Peter, you've given us a lot to talk about there. So I thank you for getting it kickstarted with some really provocative issues. So Peter's point was, or one of his points was, that these single-use plastic bags that you get at the grocery store are not single-use, that you can use them over and over again, or at least, you know, use them at least one more time by lining your trash can with them and then taking out the trash. So how would you respond to that?
While true, you can find at least one more use for a lot of them. I mean, I've heard people like to pick up their dog waste with them. People take out cat litter with them. That doesn't really justify the infinite existence of that thing. Like you may put something in it and then put it in a landfill. It's still there forever. While that does account for a small percentage of it, I think there are a lot of really reasonable workarounds short of going out and buying more plastic bags. Paper bags can be used for a lot of the same stuff. If you're going to put dog poop in a paper bag and leave it in your car all day, that might be not a good idea. But when you're literally talking about the 30 steps it's going to take you to pick up what you need to pick up and deposit it in a trash can, I don't think that justifies the 1,000-year lifespan of a plastic product.
What about a trash liner? Because you can definitely think of a positive reason for having a durable plastic liner on your trash, and then if you get it at the grocery store, rather than having to go out and create a new one or create demand for a new one, what could you use in place of a plastic bag trash liner for your household garbage can?
Paper does work for most not wet things. An empty can works. I realize it's a little more work to clean it out. And one important note, a lot of these ordinances do not exempt all plastic bags. They mainly focus on the heavy hitters, the grocery stores, the retails, the convenience stores, CVS or pharmacies, things like that. So there actually is still some plastic waste generated. We're just looking at a very large reduction. For example, San Francisco banned their plastic bag ban went into effect a little more recently, and they saw about a 30% reduction. And that's on the low end. A lot of cities have seen more reduction.
And in the one that's being proposed for St. Petersburg, is there definite language already, or are they even still at the point of where they're working through the language of what the ordinance might be?
Yeah, they are working through that. And also to Steve's point about the weight percentage, he is right. He said that dirt, plastic cleanups and beach cleanups and waste stream analysis see that plastic bags make up a smaller percentage of the weight of plastic products collected. That is true. The thing to consider is that they're made to be light and big volume, and that's why they're so dangerous to sea creatures. That's why they have such a heavy impact on sewer systems, because, a plastic bag that weighs a couple grams can still block up a sewer drain and cause flooding, or still get inside the works and cause sewer water diversion, which St. Pete is worried about the way they process their sewer water, of course.
Our guest is Davey Connor. He's a chair of Rise Above Plastics Coalition. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a second. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email dj at wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. It's 12:25 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. And there was a study posted on the website of the plastic industry's PR firm, and it's plasticpackagingfacts.org. And I want to read to you from this. What they did is they compared three different types of disposable bags. They compared the plastic bags that we're talking about here with 30% paper, 30% recycled fiber paper bags, and then some sort of composting plastic, compostable plastic. And this is from the executive summary of that study, and I'll post this on our website as well. It says, any decision to ban traditional polyethylene plastic grocery bags in favor of bags made from alternative materials, compostable plastic, or recycled paper will result in a significant increase in environmental impacts across a number of categories, from global warming effects to the use of precious potable water resources. And there's, they break it down, excuse me. They break it down by how much water is being used, how much petroleum products are being used. So for those three categories, this study found that the most sustainable, I guess if you want to use that word, would be these single-use plastic bags that we're talking about.
That's an interesting idea.
They did not look at fully reusable bags like canvas bags or something, but if they're just talking about between these three different types of essentially single-use bags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a big omission, because our first goal when we're talking to people, and we do a lot of public outreach and public education, you know, we focus on that, we focus on the policy, and we also recruit ocean friendly businesses in the Rise Above Plastics Coalition, which are businesses volunteering to go and make ocean friendly decisions with their products. But when we're doing public education, the first thing we do every time is try to encourage people to use less, so reduce their personal footprint, right? Bring a reusable bag, ask for no straw, take their own takeout container. Very little steps that people can do. And if you bring your own bag, then their study is irrelevant. If you are asked at the takeout line or at the checkout line, do you need a bag? You know, just asking people drives down bag usage. The same as if you ask people, do you want a straw with your drink? A lot of people are going to say no. But if you give it to them by default, then that remains very, very high, the usage rates, I mean. So, you know, we're hopeful that, or we believe, and we've seen in the past, that if you can educate the public, in addition to the steps that the city is taking to protect itself, to protect its beaches, which are a vital resource, then, you know, you'll drive down usage overall, and ultimately that's what's going to be best for the environment.
All right, well, let's go back to the phones. We have several people waiting on the line. Let's try Anne in Newport Richey. Hi, Anne. What's on your mind?
I'm very discouraged because I want you to know that the gentleman is correct about residential use of trash bags that are collected, that his information is very correct. But I took several classes regarding things. First of all, I've been to Dublin, been to several places in Ireland. I didn't know that this was happening in St. Petersburg. But I just think that the counties make up their own rules and regulations in terms of collection and how they make policy in terms of the, you know, collection of trash and so on. But my biggest point here is that it's separated, always is separated out by commercial. Like, you have a lot of commercial properties that, like, I'm going to rip off my big plastic thing on my organic garden in August, and I'm going to roll it up, and I may save it, I may not, depending on it, and I may just put it in the trash with four or five different carriers.
So this ordinance would not apply to that if that's what you're wondering about.
The commercial and residential needs to be unblurred. Second of all, the other part that needs to be really known is that in California, they have a fine. Through our extension office, we had several classes. People came from California in Pasco County and took several classes with me having to do with compost and different things that have to do with plastic. And they get a weekly notice if they don't have three bags or four bags that are separated.
And are you talking about curbside recycling?
Yes, curbside recycling. If they actually do not separate their innate ingredients from their plastic ingredients, then they get a bill for $23 a week.
That's not what this St. Pete ordinance is concerned
about. That might be a better way to go, because St. Pete is a very rich area in downtown St. Pete, and to charge them $23 for if they don't separate into four different containments might be a really good way to go for your area down there. So each resident would get a $23 bill if they don't separate in four containers right there by the goal. What do you think about that? And if you can, answer that question.
All right, thanks for that call, Anne. I appreciate it. So how about, instead of banning bags, encouraging more recycling the way that Anne was suggesting?
I think it's a decision worth looking at, but ultimately, that's putting a lot of negative pressure on citizens, and while I do think that everybody should recycle, everybody should compost, what we're looking at here, and really the whole reason that there's a ban on bans is because large corporations decided it would be some small percentage more efficient, and they'd have some small percentage more sales if they made it more convenient for their customers by giving them products that last forever and kill things. And so, you know, this ban that St. Pete is considering is focused on the corporations that are peddling a convenience-based lifestyle, a destructive convenience-based lifestyle. And I feel a little better about that than I feel about going, you know, through everybody's household trash and judging their life and finding their life. You know, while I totally encourage everyone who is listening to this and everybody out there to be sustainable in their day-to-day life, you know, I could convince everybody on my block to bring their disposable bags, but the grocery store down the street is still giving out thousands a day. So we're looking at something that's going to target, you know, the kind of the corporations that are the reason we're having such trouble protecting our environment, and you know, they can deal with it because they're the ones that kind of got us in this situation.
813-239-9663. If you'd like to join this conversation, let me read an email or two before we go to our next phone call. Ernie says, and he's from Port Richey, I want to shop where I can get 20 bags of groceries for $50. Okay, sorry, I just threw that that number out there. I was just, you know what, that mostly was a comment, and I that was my error, but it was mostly my comment of how many bags of groceries they give you no matter how much you buy. I mean, you can buy a small amount, and they just give you zillions of bags, it seems to me. All right, thanks for calling me out on that, Ernie. I really feel stupid. Martin, it writes, true, don't find too many bags on the beach. They blow in the water. I pull them out of the Gulf all the time. The ospreys also use them for nests. I have seen that. So thanks for that comment, Martin. All right, well, let's go to Greg in Clearwater. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Great show, as always.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man. A couple of points. First of all, I do think that retailers have some responsibility with the so quick to put everything. When I go to the grocery store, they want to put every single item in a separate bag, it seems like. And I do try to reuse those bags, but they're making them so thin that they basically barely make it home from the store without a couple of holes in them anyway. But what about recyclable or plastics that break down that are biodegradable? And why can't we just simply move more towards that end of the spectrum? Thanks.
All right, thanks for that call, Greg. And following up on his call, according to that survey or that study that was done on that was posted on the plastics page, they apparently take more resources, water and petroleum, to create these bags than even these single use bags. But other than that aside, what are your thoughts on that question?
So there's a lot of confusion regarding what constitutes an environmentally friendly product. Before I moved back to St. Petersburg, I was living in the Pacific Northwest in a city that had industrial composting, which is like a giant pressurized cooking oven for breaking things down. And so there were all these environmentally friendly compostable products that you could get at restaurants. And if they made it into the composter, that was great. If they made it into the recycling stream, then that became really problematic. And most people weren't going to read the fine print on their plastic fork before they threw it into the right bin. So a lot of times the look-alike products that are trying to recreate the same experience can have troublesome logistical implications. And then there's also the question of what's going to happen in between when the bag blows out the trunk of your car as you're driving down the highway and when it finally ends up breaking down. How many possible marine impacts or sewer impacts or, you know, litter impacts is it going to have in its questionable lifespan? So is it better than this, you know, infinitely lived plastic bag? Maybe. But it's also kind of a sidestep. You know, that's why we're focused more on encouraging people to bring their own reusable bags, looking at paper bags, which are pretty clear. I mean, it's not out of the question. And ultimately, the city council can choose to decide to go in whatever direction they want.
Yes, the very beginning of the process. So if you have input, now would be the time to share it with the people who are making these decisions or who will be making the decisions. All right, let's try Laura in St. Pete Beach. Hi, Laura.
Hi. My comment is about the lining of garbage cans with the plastic bags. You can use paper bags, even in the kitchen, and then take a layer of newspaper, say, you know, 7 to 10 pages, and just fold it in half, layer it on the bottom, and that will prevent leakage from the paper. And it works fine. I do it all the time.
That's a great tip.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in. Thank you, Laura. All right, we'll go back to the emails in just a minute, but let's try Chris in St. Pete. Hi, Chris.
Hi, I was wondering if the study that mentioned that the biodegradable type bags, what was that data based on? Was it hemp bags or cassava bags? And also, have there been studies as to how much of these chemicals, the plastic chemicals, are ending up in our food chain that people are consuming once they've degraded down to the molecular level? And, we can measure things like bisphenol A or other chemical estrogen mimickers that are really fouling up people's health, causing cancer and sexual identity crises, I suppose. People should, I think, balance their hormones and have them tested before they make any permanent changes, especially of the anatomical kind, before they go through any of those permanent surgical changes. And I think that a lot of it does have to do with the plastics that are leaching from our foods and water, especially acidic foods. And since purified water is slightly acidic, a lot of that's leaching from the plastic. So those two questions, studies on cassava and hemp bags, where did they come up with the idea that it costs more to the environment? And there might be a synergistic effect with these chemicals leaching from plastics in addition to all the other chemicals in our environment.
All right. Thank you for the call, Chris. Hey, so I should say that maybe I wasn't clear about this. They only compared compostable plastic bags. So they didn't really look at a lot of what we would consider compostable, the range of compostable materials. They did not look at compostable hemp and so forth, like you were saying. They were just compared the regular polyethylene bags that we talk about to compostable plastic bags, and which is a very specific thing, and then 30% recycled fiber paper bags. So that was the only comparison they made. I think you are right. What I'm getting at, or what you were getting at, would be that if you looked at something like hemp and you compared the water use and the carbon dioxide emissions and so forth from the production of a hemp bag, I bet that it would be less than these plastic bags. They just did. That wasn't in their study. Not surprisingly, maybe. And then as to the other point, I'll let our guests talk about what happens, or what's the dangers of, as the plastic gets smaller and smaller, the dangers of more and more chemicals leaching out.
Sure thing. So like we were talking about, plastic bags don't actually go away. They photodegrade, so sunlight breaks them into smaller and smaller pieces. So start out looking like a jellyfish, and then they end up into kind of this unavoidable microscopic false food that all the filter feeders in the ocean can eat. And anybody who knows about the marine food chain knows that you may not eat the filter feeders, but you eat what they eat, or you eat what's eating them, rather. So it will bioaccumulate up the food chain, any leached chemicals. I don't have information on the specific human impact. I'm not 100% sure if there are studies of that, but there is a long history of seeing how bioaccumulation of chemicals in the marine environment can end up affecting humans or affecting other creatures who are eating the fish that eat the fish that eat the fish that, eat the shrimp that is eating plastic.
Yeah, and I think that endocrine disruptors are something pretty common that leach from small plastics, microplastics into the waterways and into, the fish that eat them and so on. All right, let's go to Jennifer in St. Pete. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I'm just calling to comment on a couple of the things that have been discussed. One of them with the microplastics, not only do they leach chemicals into the water, but the smaller they break down, the more surface area they have, especially with the chemical makeup that attracts the different types of chemicals in the ocean. So when an animal eats it, it's like a concentrated piece of plastic with the pollutants that is absorbed from the ocean. So that compounds problem in addition. And then on terms of compostable plastics and biodegradable, a lot of biodegradable plastics actually just break down in small pieces. So they are biodegrading, but they're biodegrading into small pieces, which is our microplastics, and that's what our issue is. And things that are compostable might compost in your compost bin, but would they break down in the water? That's another question. So the way that the things degrade on land versus water is a huge issue. And I think that reduction of the plastic bags, however we can do it, is a great thing because, yes, you can reuse them and you can potentially recycle them if you remember to bring them back to your grocery store. But really, most of what we should be focused on is reduction. That's the first thing and the most important thing and the best way to conserve the resources. And very few plastics, when you look at all the plastics out there, actually get recycled the way that they're supposed to be recycled.
All right, thank you for that call, Jennifer. Do you have anything you'd like to respond?
Yeah, it's worth noting that the EPA has studied plastic bag recycling in the U.S. In 2009, it was about 9% of those plastic bags were recycled. The most recent estimate is all the way up to 12%. So that means 88% of every plastic bag generated either ends up in a landfill or in the environment, the marine environment. Or, you know, maybe some small fraction ends up as somebody's art project. But I really don't think that those are, we can't look at that and say that recycling works in this case. It's just, it's not happening. And they gum up the machinery at full recycling plants, which slows down the recycling process because the recycling workers have to crawl across the junk line, you know, tear the bag open, pour out its contents, and then get rid of the bag. So it has a very real impact in the efficiency of our ability to recycle everything else. And then the cost of that slowdown is passed on to the city, is passed on to the consumers, passed on to the business who's paying for that service.
The problem that you're talking about right now where plastic bags getting into the recycling stream, that's such a big problem that a series of local communities around, I think it's the counties and the big cities, have an ad campaign that's pretty new. Maybe a few months ago they started to say, keep the plastic bags out of the recycling bin. Because I think people get in the habit or have the tendency, maybe they'll put all their tin cans in a plastic bag and then put that into the recycling bin. Put that plastic bag full of recyclables in there, but the county and city are saying, no, don't do that. That'll really mess up our machines. That'll make our recycling effort less effective. And so I just think it's kind of, I don't know what the word is, but where you're trying to do the right thing and yet you're screwing it up because you're putting it into a plastic bag. And I don't mean that to sound judgmental. People are doing it accidentally or without knowing that that's what's happening. And they've had to have this campaign. And the plastics, in response, the plastics industry, the PR industry for the plastics companies, they say, well, it's really easy to recycle your plastic bags. If you do have some single-use plastic bags, you can just recycle them and take them to outside the grocery store. There's a receptacle there. But you're saying, and this is also what Jennifer was saying, is that they just don't get recycled that often, that frequently.
They don't get recycled that often. They're often, you know, bundled up and driven long distances or even shipped overseas for recycling elsewhere. So, you know, the infrastructure and the consumer habits just are not there.
All right, I'm getting way behind on the emails. We have about 10 emails I need to read, or I'll try to get to all of them. I apologize if I don't. Chip in Tampa says, it's sad this is even a debate. The environmental costs of plastic bags far outweigh their benefits. All the pro-bag arguments are hollow or disingenuous. That's Chip's opinion in Tampa. And I'm going to go to Julie in St. Pete. What sort of toxins are released when plastic shopping bags are burned? Pinellas County burns its trash to generate power. They aren't going to a landfill, at least not here. Also, Publix has bins at every store to recycle plastic bags. It's where I take all of my newspaper bags. Also, helium balloons are nothing but plastic bags filled with air. For the love of God, people, stop releasing them to honor special occasions. They deflate and kill sea turtles. So that's what Jules says. And I'm going to add on. She has a lot there that we can respond to. I'm going to add on to that. It reminded me that in the Gabber, I read this week that there's an effort by local businesses in Gulfport to cut down on certain plastics. Like a lot of the businesses are going plastics free, I think, for July, where they're not giving out straws unless someone asks, and they're not giving out styrofoam and so on. So, all right, now there's about 7 or 8 things that you can respond to. What can you say either about that or about burning plastic bags in the incinerator like they do here in Tampa or in Pinellas County?
Yeah, let's talk about Gulfport. Let's talk about our beach communities. You know, Florida gets millions and millions of visitors every year, and tourism is the backbone of so much of our industry. And we, you know, sometimes it's a hassle with traffic or with driving, but ultimately, you know, we want those people to keep coming back and enjoy the same beautiful natural environment that drew so many of us here or keeps us here. You know, I love the beach. I go paddleboarding. I surf. I swim. And I do beach cleanups. I do beach cleanups with the Surf Rider Foundation. I do beach cleanups with the Sea Turtle Trackers, which is another one of our member organizations. One of the most common things we remove is plastic bags. We pull them off of our, we pull them out of beach grass. We untangle them from mangrove roots. They are there. And the only ones we see there are the ones that haven't already blown into the ocean. So it is a very common sense idea for me that businesses would want to take the initiative to be ocean friendly. And that's why we have the Ocean Friendly Certification Program through the Rise Above Plastics Coalition. I would love businesses to lead the way. I would love consumer action and consumer demand to lead the way. We're working on both of those two angles. But unfortunately, especially with a lot of the larger businesses, they are stuck in their ways and they're not interested in budging. And that's why we're also hoping for some statewide, citywide, countywide support of environmentally defensible policy.
And part of that could be local businesses who are invested in their community versus these multinational or at least multi-state corporations that, you know, maybe they've never been to St. Pete, the people that are making the decisions there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's hit the phones again. Jackie in Largo. Hi, Jackie.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to call and let y'all know, I just abhor plastic. It's just such a waste of petroleum. And to address that gentleman who was against potentially getting rid of the plastic bags in St. Pete, well, you know, it's a start. It's a really good start. And as far as, you know, using plastic bags in your smaller garbage cans, like in the bathroom or your study or library or whatever, what do you need a plastic bag for? Just empty it out. You know, once you get some items in there, just empty them out. And so I just really appreciate your work and your efforts, and thank you for having this show.
Jackie, thanks so much for calling in. And if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 813-239-9663. My name is Sean Cunahan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. And my guest is Davey Connor. He's chair of the Rise Above Plastics Coalition. We're talking about an effort that's starting in St. Petersburg. This Thursday will be the first time it's heard at a council committee about banning single-use plastic bags in the city. And that's starting to take shape, and we'll see what form it comes out, if it does come out of that committee, and how it progresses over the months. But it's just getting started, so we're going to follow that. Let's read an email or two. All right, here's what Ed writes. He says, does anyone know what Publix does with the plastic bags that they get in the containers at all their stores? They have a recycling logo on the collection container. So, Davey, what does happen to these plastic bags that get recycled? I mean, I presume that they are recycled. I think earlier you mentioned they get shipped off somewhere. What could happen to plastic bags to get recycled?
I mean, the intimate details of the process, I can't comment on. I believe they do recycle them. I'm pretty sure it's not local. I think there's a central facility in northern Florida and probably other further afield. So the issue that we take with it is not what happens after they make it to the bin. The issue that we take is that the vast, vast majority, you know, the 88% that don't make it to the bin.
Well, a grumpy old man in cyberspace has a tongue-in-cheek email that I'm going to read just to lighten things up. He says, in my day, we didn't have these fancy pants, freebie plastic and paper bags to haul our crap around. We paid $100 for a bison's bladder, and we used that to stuff our victuals and other dry goods around with, and we liked it. So that's what the grumpy old man says. A text from 727, he says, I've been on a campaign for years. The Clearwater Beacon delivers a free paper to most houses, and many people don't pick them up, so they lie curbside or rot in the gutters, and they're wrapped in blue plastic. So that's what 727 says. People who get their newspapers to their house have a lot of plastic, and or their work. There's just a lot of plastic. And would newspaper bags be included in St. Pete's ordinance?
Without knowing what the final text of St. Pete's ordinance is, I can't say for sure. I know that previous ordinances, and I believe the Coral Gable ones does not include newspaper bags for distribution. But just to go back to what the grumpy old man said, because I think it's important, not about the bison's bladder, but the amount of plastic produced from 2000 to 2010 exceeds the amount produced during the entire 20th century. So that's significant. You know, it's once you are in a habit, it's difficult to think of what life is like outside of that habit. Ask every smoker ever who tried to quit. And a lot of the pushback we get is these mundane but still relevant questions of, you know, what am I going to put in my trash can? You know, what am I going to pick up cat poop with? But really the question is, like, is the mild inconvenience worth a 1,000-year lifespan? Is it worth the impacts that that plastic bag is going to have, or that all the other plastic bags that you don't use for your one little project around your home are going to have on the marine environment? Our answer, and an answer shared by the thousands of people who are members of our coalition partners, is no, that's not worth it. And that's why we want to try to get plastic bags out of here. And the reassurance we have for people is, hey, we lived for a long time without plastic. People were generating trash before, you know, whenever they invented the first plastic bag. People were dealing with that trash. There's going to be a way, and it's not going to be that hard. You know, nobody's going to die. We're not removing plastic from the marketplace. Plastic has a lot of important value in our lives. The phones in our pockets are made of plastic. But, you know, this one thing is the first small step. Are plastic water bottles a problem? For sure. You know, the people on your Facebook live stream can see that I brought my own reusable water bottle. We'd love for everybody to do that too. But this is a little step that we can do that will have an outsized impact.
813-239-9663. Deborah in St. Petersburg has been holding patiently. Thanks for calling in, Deborah.
Hi. Well, I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm really thankful that it's on the ballot. But
well, hang on. I want to
agree with the public sentiment part.
I just want to pause you for a second. There's no ballot question on it yet. They're starting to have a discussion in City Council about potentially making an ordinance.
Oh, I was hoping it was. But what about ecotourism? You know, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the BP oil spill, but what about people showing that they care about the environment? I think that's a very hip thing to attract, you know, tourists, to show that, you know, we try to live, you know, a cleaner life and extend that environment to them.
So would St. Pete get a benefit from, you know, ecotourism if the city had an ordinance like this? Is that a potential? That's Deborah's thoughts.
Absolutely. You know, St. Pete has already positioned itself as a city on the forefront of environmentally sustainable policy. They've pledged to go 100% renewable energy by 2020. And the ability to say, you know, we are one of the first cities in Florida to be a thought leader, to be a city that cares for its environment, is huge. And that'll continue to attract more visitors, from, you know, other countries where plastic bags just don't exist in a recognizable form. One of the things that we're hoping to do to capitalize on that, like I've mentioned, is our Ocean Friendly Business Certification Program. We already have a few businesses in St. Pete. Love Food Central, it's a really great restaurant downtown. The Indie Flea, also the Tampa Indie Market, or the Tampa Indie Flea and the St. Pete Indie Market are certified ocean friendly businesses. So they bring, you know, I think more than 75 vendors together, and all of them have agreed, yeah, we're going to do business, but we're not going to give out plastic bags. They're doing great. You know, I went to the last one last month, and it was packed. Lots of people there enjoying it, spending money, supporting local businesses. So we do see a strong business argument and a strong tourism argument in responsible policy and responsible business practices. And we would love, like I said, to create that, or to educate businesses that there is that demand out there, so they're willing to take the next step and protect the environment.
Our guest is Davey Connor with the Rise Above Plastics Coalition, and you can join the conversation. 813-239-9663 is 12:56 in the afternoon. Elizabeth in Riverview. Hi, what's on your mind?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Let me give you a good use for the unused plastic bags. I lived in Volusia County for many years and volunteered at a place called the Pioneer Settlement. They had lots of volunteers that were weavers. There was one gentleman who took the plastic bags and would weave a mat out of them. They were wonderful. I had several of them. I would put them outside my front door and back door, use them for foot wipes. What gave out on them after maybe 3 years was the weaving. That, of course, was cotton yarn or wool yarn. The plastic didn't give out and had to be recycled, but they were wonderful. They would last for many years as foot wipes, and they were rather attractive because the bags do come in all different colors.
All right. Thanks so much, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. Let's go now to Jeff in St. Pete. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm wondering, back during the transition when the cashiers used to ask paper or plastic, the argument was that we were killing too many trees and the plastic was recyclable. So it's like a twofold question. Have the arguments against paper become the hollow arguments? And why didn't we realize how terrible plastic was when we were bringing it to replace paper?
All right, good questions, Jeff. Davey?
Yeah, paper bags do require resources. Every disposable thing in our culture requires resources, which is why reduce and reuse are the first two phrases in reduce, reuse, recycle. They're put in that order for a reason. If you take your own bag to the store, you don't need to worry about killing trees. You don't need to worry about killing a sea turtle. Everybody wins. But when you're looking at the longer tail of your decisions, does paper require killing some trees? Yes. Hopefully they're made with, at least 30% recycled materials. But when we look at the long-term impacts, which maybe people didn't want to think about when they were trying to make the transition to plastic bags, or maybe people misinterpreted the, save the trees argument as, use plastic bags instead of use less bags and find other ways to carry your stuff home. But when we're looking at that long-term impact, we don't see plastic as a sustainable option by any means.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I would say the arguments were hollow back during that transition. I think that seeing the mountains of trash in the ocean, or whatever they call it, islands of trash, the size of Manhattan or however big they are, the giant mountain, and then seeing these images of sea creatures like birds and turtles with their guts all filled with plastic dying on a beach. I think these images were images that we wouldn't have dreamt of whenever you're talking about 30 years ago or 20 years ago or whenever that was. I do think we have a little bit more information now that we might not have had then. But thanks, Jeff. Thanks so much for calling. And let's try to squeeze one more in. Dan in St. Petersburg, and I apologize to Eric, Allison. Allison. Dan, turn your phone down, please.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Listen, I didn't get the answer about the burning of trash in St. Pete. What happens to plastic when they burn it? And I'd like to also comment that plastic keeps all that moisture out, and City of St. Pete requires commercial businesses to always have their restaurants have their bags, trash in bags, so all that goes the smell.
All right. Thank you for that. So burning plastic is all the chemicals that are in the plastic bag, now they'll get into the air and you can breathe them in when you burn the plastic bags. And that's a quick answer for that, right?
Yeah, I'd agree.
And how would you respond? Well, it's these commercial operations are required to line their bags with plastic, their bins with plastic. What does that have to do? How would you respond to that in light of today's discussion?
That wouldn't affect what we were talking about and what the subject of the upcoming ban is. One other thing I want to mention for anybody who is listening and wants to stay involved or learn more, they can find us on Facebook at Suncoast RAP or Suncoast Rise Above Plastics. And we're going to be continuing to organize events in the months to come.
Well, thanks so much, Davey. Davey Connor is the Rise Above Plastics Coalition Chair, and they're pushing for a ban on single-use plastic bags in St. Petersburg. This coming Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon, a St. Pete City Council committee will hear have the first talk about that ordinance. Thanks to everyone who called, texted, and emailed today. 813-238-8001, extension 114. If you'd like to leave a message, thanks to James and Frank and DT. This is WMNF Tampa.